And we study that passage we read in John chapter 11. But the keynote is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We're told that a number of times. And yet, though loved by the Lord Jesus, Lazarus was sick. And we, of course, have to remember that when we're sick, we're still under the remnant of the curse of the earth. And that though we are loved by the Lord Jesus, he doesn't seem to cease to love us. And that the circumstances, bad as though they may seem, are under his absolute control. But from the sister's point of view, when Lazarus was taken ill, the best thing they did was to send for Jesus. No mention here of sending for physicians. It looks as if this was a very rapid onslaught of a disease that looked as if it would kill him. So they sent to Jesus. And in verse 4 we read this, that when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it was. She was dead. He was dead. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Death wasn't going to be the end. Death was not going to be finality. The glory of God is the great thing by which all those who believe in him shall live. And though it was true that he died, that wasn't the purpose of his dying. That wasn't the end of his dying. He would live. He would be raised from the dead. He would in fact die again and raised from the dead. But he was to be an example of that great pillar of the faith, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be raised from the dead. So the sickness is not unto death, though it was. But that wasn't the final end. It was for the glory of God, and that the Lord Jesus himself, the Son of God, might be glorified thereby. Now, John, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes this very carefully. And the Spirit foresees, and John can foresee too, that the fact that he waited would look as if he didn't love. So he stresses what's already been said. Now, Jesus loves Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. In other words, when death strikes a family, or sickness strikes a family, it doesn't mean that the love of the Lord has ceased towards us, but rather that the Lord has some great glory to himself, and some great future for us. Either the future of living more confidently with the Lord, or the future of living for always fighting a disability, or for the immediate future of going to be with the Lord, doesn't matter which. But the Lord remembers us, and he never ceases to love us, and he'll never cease to help us in the difficulties attaching to any particular sickness. But Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. It suggests that the messengers had come a 1 day journey, and when they returned it would be another day's journey to make the 4 days since he had died. But after those 2 days, Jesus, who we see here, knows everything that's going on, as he does in all things. Jesus said, well, now let's go to Judea again. Now, of course, where they lived was just outside Jerusalem, which was the capital of Judea. And the disciples said, well, they sought to stone thee recently. You don't want to be going back there. But Jesus indicated by what he said about 12 hours that there are things he had to do in the time that remained. So he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, Again, see how much the love comes across. He's talking to the disciples. Now, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go to awake him out of sleep. The disciples understood the expression as many people speak of the expression nowadays. When somebody's died, they say, well, they're sleeping. And they said to Jesus, of course, it's very good to go to sleep. Very nice to go to sleep. If he sleeps, he'll do well. But Jesus spake of his death. And he said to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. He knew that. And then he says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. I was glad that I wasn't there, so you may believe. There are other people who may be helped by her death, but that's not the main issue. I was glad for your sakes that I was not there. If I had healed him from his disease, I had done that many, many times. And I'd also raised people from the dead. But here is a believer. Here is one that we love. And he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there, because something's going to happen which will make you believe, strengthen your faith, and trust in me to the intent that you may believe. Resurrection from the dead is an absolute keynote of the Christian faith. It makes all the opposition that we ever meet with worth it for the sake of what lies in the future. Who knows what lies in the future, but it will be with the Lord Jesus. It will be with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. I was glad I wasn't there to heal his sickness, so that you might believe in me who gives resurrection. When they arrived, Martha got to hear of it. Martha was always the one to move first. And she comes to the Lord Jesus with a great human mixture. Compared with Mary, who fell down at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha says the same words, but rather more criticizing. But Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, didn't bow down, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I didn't want him to die. And if he'd been here, he wouldn't have died. See, there's just a little suggestion, it's your fault. Well, Jesus overlooks that. Her very humanity on the one hand, and now she swings. She swings from being very upset with Jesus to expecting something wonderful. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Is that expression, even now, that suggests that she had an inkling of what Jesus might do? I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And then comes one of the core parts of this passage. In preparation of Martha for what Jesus was going to do. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So Jesus said, it's the answer to what he's praying, thy brother shall rise again. Oh, I know that, she says. Her doctrine's good. She knows that. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, the last chapter of Daniel teaches that very clearly. And she shows her scripture knowledge that she believes that all who die in Christ will rise at the last day, which is very true. But I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. We're not thinking about waiting till the last day. We think about something for a believer in me that's happening now. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And then Jesus speaks spiritually, because we're all dead in trespasses and sins. And bringing us to life spiritually is life from the dead. And that's mentioned here, it's what he's getting at. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Two things then. On the one hand, Martha would be thinking, Lazarus is dead. Jesus is saying, he that believeth in me, as Lazarus did, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But that wasn't all that Jesus meant, was it? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he who here in this world, while alive, puts all our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So he's not only talking about Lazarus, he's penetrating much more deeply into the soul of Martha, and indeed into ours. For do you believe these things? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, when that happens, yet shall he live. And then he puts it the other way around. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. All right, Martha, all right, Mary, you're alive. Well, let's look at it from that point of view and not from the point of view of a dead Lazarus. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Now, if you believe in me now and you're alive in this world while there's an opportunity, you will never die. I think of the woman who came and asked for the water that Jesus spoke of so she didn't have to come to draw anymore. And I suppose it's easy to think to ourselves, well, if we're not going to die, that would be worth having. But it isn't what Jesus meant, of course. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, two things. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, when you die, you will live in spirit. In other words, you'll pass through the death, which is the soul living in the body, and immediately you will know that you're with the Lord. In a sense, though you die, there's no death. But he meant something else also. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And if we are made alive to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall never die. So here's Jesus having this conversation with a very emotional Martha, who has lost the brother she loved and whom Jesus also loved. And the Lord Jesus faces her with a question. I used to laugh before I was a Christian because I didn't think it was the way to go about it, but people would confront you and say, are you saved? And because I wasn't at the time and didn't know what to say, thought it was a bit silly of them to ask questions like that. But that was one of the ways of evangelism when I was young. People would actually say to you directly, are you saved? Everybody would know what he was talking about, the person was talking about. So Jesus here faces Martha and says, do you believe this? She can't wriggle. She can't get it off. She can't leave it for another 5 minutes. Jesus is confronting her with a direct question that she cannot get out of. She doesn't want to because of Lazarus. Jesus says to her, do you believe me? Not just believe in me. That's very interesting. Because you see, Jesus said, do you believe me? And her answer only refers to believing in him. But it will progress as the day goes on. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So let's read those two verses. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed him, but wasn't sure about the resurrection, but it would come. Can you say that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Christ that was foretold that would come into the world. Do you believe he is the Son of God? Do you believe he has all power to forgive sins, all power to direct our lives, all power to bring us by resurrection into glory? She said that and she went away. And she called Mary and she said to her, the master is come and calleth for thee. We've no record of Jesus saying, go and get Martha, go and get Mary. But that wouldn't be there in scripture if he hadn't said something like that. So Mary arose quickly and she came. And she found Jesus in the same place where he'd met Martha. And the Jews followed her. So up to now, in this question of belief, Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there so you disciples can believe. Now he's dealt with Martha and believing as he deals with all of us individually about believing. Now he's got Mary. And Mary says to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Same words. But the suggestion is that she was more meditative, not so inclined to be critical. That her approach was a little different. And then we have this tremendous picture of the manhood of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. His father had cursed the earth. And of course the Son and the Holy Spirit had agreed with it. When I read Genesis 6, which follows the cursing of the earth, I'm surprised the Lord hasn't returned already. But the earth is cursed. It shall be that all our labor has to be expended in order to earn a living. And so the Lord, seeing at such close quarters, and not as God looking down, but because he was human, God looking with, he's troubled. He groans in his spirit. Doesn't sound as if it was an audible groan, but from deep down inside him there was this sympathy for the pain and the agony of bereavement. Don't ever forget that. Jesus groans when we groan. He's troubled when we're troubled. The curse of the earth as a man deeply troubled him. And of course he suffered the curse of the earth in as much as he was stoned and all the other things that happened to him. He groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. When he saw them weeping, when he saw what they were going through, when he saw the severed love, and Jesus knew about the love which he had, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They say unto him, "Come and see." Jesus wept. They wept. His weeping caused him to groan in spirit and be troubled. They invited him to see where he was laid, and he wept. A public show of weeping in a funeral can never be wrong. Jesus wept. But what did that mean? It means he was utterly identified. He had a relationship, of course, with Lazarus, a perfect friendship. It was different for Mary and Martha, who were related. It was different for the Jews. But all together, they all were missing him. Jesus wept for the agony of bereavement, for the agony of suffering, for the agony of death. All that they went through when they knew it was a fatal disease. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Which is true. So, here is Lazarus dead. And Jesus and the Father allowed him to die so that something infinitely more important could occur. So dying for a believer is not a nice thing, but it is much more important to be risen from the dead, to be raised from the dead, much more important to believe it. Much more important to have it undergirding everything that we do. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him, but he let him die, so that resurrection could be clearly and openly declared. And for that it was worth it." Some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Maybe he heard what they said. Maybe he was touched. Could he not have made it so that he didn't die? And here he felt he heard those words, perhaps, and he felt that there was a certain criticism, but at the same time there was a greater thing that had to be shown, that resurrection is more important than death and is more final than death, though it lasts forever. So Jesus again groans in himself, absolutely identified with the sorrow, with the parting, with the bereavement, with the suffering, with the broken and severed loves. Groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave. It was a grave, and a stone lay upon it. Of course, Jesus knows that he's going to raise the dead, so he says, "Take the stone away." Martha, eminently practical, says, "You can't do that, he smells. Been dead 4 days." And any of you have ever been around something dying, perhaps You may be into a... I once remember going down a canal where there had been an animal dying in the corner by the bank, and the smell in that whole part was terrible. Death has a most individualistic and most repulsive smell. So dear Martha, the sister of him that was dead, says, "Lord, he stinketh." In other words, he was decomposing. And when you think about it, after 4 days decomposing, we would decompose. And yet, the Lord can restore even decomposition. It's vital to get hold of. The Lord can restore even when things have begun to decay. "Take ye away the stone." Martha said, "By this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus says, "I'm going to show you the glory of God." And then Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, "Well, I'm only praying now openly. I know that you'll answer me. But for the sake of all the others who are watching, that they might know I do this in dependence upon thee." When he thus spoken, "Oh, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." That the disciples might believe, that Mary and Martha might believe, now that the Jews who are friendly might believe. When he thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He heard, the dead heard. Remember, John the Baptist said that even of these stones can the Lord raise up Israel. Even inanimate things can be raised if it pleases the Lord, because he is creator. And so he spoke to Lazarus, "Come forth." And he that was dead came forth. The dead hear the voice. If we're in Adam and living our lives as we were born, and our lives are purely natural and not towards God, and never have been as long as we lived, when Jesus speaks, the dead come alive. The dead in their trespasses and sins, which we all were like, come alive when Jesus visits the heart. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Not only did he come forth who had been dead, who had been disintegrating, who had been decaying and decomposing, but he could come forth being still tied up. And it's sort of said two or three times. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. I imagine he couldn't easily breathe. But when the Lord said, "Come forth," even with all these restraints, Jesus was able to break them. People here, this is all about belief. Belief in the Saviour. Belief in resurrection in Christ. Belief in the salvation that he calls us to, being dead in trespasses and sins, and that we shall, when we die, go to be with him. All about belief that these things are obtained by Jesus. We don't all go to heaven naturally, but by Jesus we are raised from the dead. So he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." And so he was raised from the dead. And we read that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believe in him. And also many came afterwards to meet with Lazarus, and they came to believe. So this is all about belief. Belief for his disciples, belief for Martha and Mary, belief for the Jews. But crucial, without faith in Christ to raise us from the dead spiritually, then we cannot even begin to think about being raised from the dead to be with Christ in glory. But when we are saved and believe, then it is one of the great principal things of the faith. Forgiveness of sins is another. But to be raised from the dead, and you know that'll be a new thing, won't it? There'd never been a man in heaven. God made flesh went to heaven when he was raised. And so will all those who believe in him. It's a first, and it's a permanent first, a new thing, and it's how heaven is to be forever. Let us make sure that we have come to terms in our own frail human lives with the Lord Jesus doesn't always give us what we think is best, but may help others by the things that happen to us. But let us all know that believing in the Lord Jesus means rising from the dead and life forevermore. Amen.